Han går ge vårt ge vårt kvinnser på. Amen. Today in the Armenian Church and in many churches we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost. In Armenian we call it Hoke Kalus, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And we have to remember that Pentecost always happens 50, it's actually a Jewish holiday that Christians have taken on. But Pentecost is a day that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. This is where we get the word pente, pente, five, like pentagon. 50 days after Passover. And it was a day that they came together and they celebrated the first harvest. And they would get together and they would celebrate this. Christians have taken this on now, and it's now always 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection of our Lord. And it's the day when we remember that the apostles were gathered together in the upper room in Jerusalem, and while they were eating in the morning, early in the morning, a great wind came into the room, and upon each one of the apostles, each one of those that were gathered there, fiery tongues, tongues of fire, sat upon each one, and it gave them the ability to preach in different languages. It gave them the ability to preach in every language of the world at the time. And then they come. They leave that room, and people outside, remember, this is a huge feast day for the Jews. They hear this wind going on, and they want to know what's happening in this little room. And so they go and they see and they hear them speaking in different languages. And they say, oh, they must be drunk. This is in Armenia. This is what the advice they gave me when I was learning Armenian. Drink some cognac. It'll loosen up your tongue. It loosened my tongue, but not for Armenian. But they think, oh, they're drunk. So now they go and they listen, but they hear them speaking in everyone's language. And St. Peter gets up and he says, we're not drunk. It's 9 in the morning. We don't drink this early. And you hear the language and you hear what we're saying in your own languages. And then he goes on to preach the risen Christ to them, the resurrection and what has happened. And after that, 3,000, the book tells us, the book of Acts, 3,000 people believe in Christ, are baptized, and become Christian that day. Many of us have heard the story of Pentecost before. And we heard how we always usually focus on this wind that comes into the room, or the fire, the tongues of fire that rest upon the apostles. Or we focus on the apostles and what they did, and they were able to speak in different languages. And all of these are wonderful, wonderful things. But we often overlook one of the greatest truths of this gospel, of this event. When Peter gets up and he preaches the risen Christ to the multitudes. For many people, they'll say, that's not a big deal. So what? He's an apostle. That's what he's supposed to do. And if we read the Gospels, we know that Peter is always one of the first ones to get up and say something. He's not one that keeps quiet. Yet, we have to remember that only 50 days earlier, more like 53 days earlier, on Holy Thursday night, this is the same Peter that was afraid to say that he knew who Christ was. This was the same Peter that denied Christ 3 times. This is the same Peter that swore he did not know who Jesus was. This is the same Peter who lied about knowing Jesus. This is the same Peter who cursed and swore at Christ. This is the same Peter who was afraid and ran away because he was afraid to be associated with Christ. And yet now he is able to get up and speak and preach about Christ to thousands of people in just 53 days. The question naturally arises, what changed? Why is it he saw Christ perform the miracles? He saw Christ walk on water. He saw Christ raise people from the dead. He saw Christ heal people and give them sight and give them hearing and be able to walk again. But that was not enough for him to say that he knew Christ, and he still was afraid. And yet now he is able to speak the risen Christ. Again, the question is, what changed? And the answer is very simple. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit who came upon him and gave him the courage to stand up and to preach Christ to everybody, even to the ones, as it says in the book of Acts, he says, "You crucified Christ." He's speaking directly to the Pharisees, the very ones he was afraid of 53 days earlier. In today's gospel reading, Christ promises that he will send the Comforter. In Greek, Paraklete, the Paraklete, the great Comforter. In Armenian, Mkhitaryich, to the apostles. He will send this to the apostles, and he will comfort them in their troubles. He will bring peace, he says. "The peace I give you is not the peace that the world gives that I give." The question naturally arises then, what is peace? If we look at the world today and we ask ourselves, what is peace? We usually think peace means there's no violence, there's no conflicts, there's no trouble, there's no wars. When there's none of those things, we'll be in peace. And in one way, that's true. That is what we think peace is. And everybody wants peace. Ask any Miss America pageant contestant, what's the first thing they see? Say, world peace. I want world peace. Everyone wants world peace. But what is peace? It's not that. Because all of those things, that type of peace, worldly peace, is temporary. It does not last. For 2,000 years, from Christ's time until now, you count how many wars and conflicts have happened. How many people have said, "I will bring peace to this world. I will make this place peaceful." And how often that has gone awry. That peace does not last. Even as I said in Armenia today, the prime minister, and I have nothing against him, says that I know how to bring peace to Armenia with Azerbaijan. But that peace is only temporary. And wars will start again. People will die. All these things will happen. Because that peace is temporary. However, the peace that Christ gives is eternal. Again, peace is not the absence of trouble and war and conflict. Peace, Christ's peace, divine peace, is the absence of fear. When you are not afraid of anything, you can do everything. Look at little children. When they don't know what fear is, they don't know anything yet. They'll go up on a bed or a bunk bed or up on the roof even, and they'll say, "Mom, Dad, watch me fly," and they'll jump. They have no sense of fear. They cross streets without looking at cars because they have no sense of fear. We have been brought up in a society that is based on fear. We have entire industries built around fear. And I have nothing against insurance agents, but insurance agents is all based upon fear. What if this happens to you one day? If this happens or this happens? Everything is built upon fear. Christians are called to be fearless. So my question now is, what fear has been holding you back from doing something? What fear has prevented you from saying something or doing something? What fear has prevented you from living the life that Christ has asked you to live? The fear that Peter felt 53 days ago, that night, held him back from confessing Christ. And he wept bitterly because of that. Now, 53 days later, full of the Holy Spirit, he is able to preach to thousands of people without any fear. Each of us have received the Holy Spirit at our baptisms. In the Armenian church, symbolically we say this, when you receive baptism, we anoint you with holy myron, holy chrism, holy oil, and you receive the Holy Spirit in that moment. But so often when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we tell him to keep quiet. We say, don't talk. I know what I'm doing. You don't understand. But he knows, and he is there, and he wants to give us that fearlessness in order to convert and change the world around us. So today on Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit comes down and sits on the apostles and gives them the ability to preach in every language and give them the ability to be fearless, to travel to the ends of the earth, all the way to India they go, preaching the gospel. And in the face of all of the difficulties that are before them, the tortures, the threats, and all the things that people are going to do to them, they are not scared, they are not worried, they are not fearful, but they stand up, they preach the risen Christ, and because of that, they are able to convert nation upon nation to Christianity. Today, I ask and I pray that we too rethink and realize the Holy Spirit is with us, is in us, and gives us that same ability to go out of here and preach the risen Christ to people without fear, without stumbling, and without worry that something may bad happen to us. Amen.